So, here we are with podcast number 2. Wow.
Looks like most of the feedback from the first one was pretty positive. Nearly half of the...
So, here we are with podcast number 2. Wow.
Looks like most of the feedback from the first one was pretty positive. Nearly half of the respondents said yay to about 15% rubbish, with the rest either confused, non-committal, and a big chunk on dial-up.
Yeah, 12.5 meg for 30 minutes of us waffling on, I guess that's a bit much for dial-up types, so sorry guys. Actually, why the hell am I apologising to them? They'll never hear this. Dial-up sucks. Get a proper internet connection.
Actually, we did have some people taking the time to download the first episode by dial-up.
Oh, sorry. Glad to have you guys.
Looking through the logs, we've had several hundred downloads of the podcast from all over. Europe, Scandinavia, North America, Australia. So basically it's their fault that we've recorded another.
Yeah, but this isn't a full podcast. It's just a quick companion piece to update you about a few developments we've had in the meantime. So last podcast we said a few things about RISC-OS software and bemoaned the lack of certain applications. Well, a few of you emailed in to set us straight about one or two things.
Firstly, about the audio editing software, there is an application that will work on everything, including 32-bit RISC-OS. SampleEd, which was a Drove 2004 Best Software nominee, was written by Richard Windley and is available to download from the interweb. However, the webpage does warn that it has not been thoroughly tested and may well crash your computer. Also, it doesn't do multi-line editing that came in very useful when putting together the first podcast.
We also heard from Stuart Stewie Brooks about some panorama software called PhotoStitch. But unfortunately, this was hosted on an Arganet website, and we had a bit of a job getting hold of a copy. But get one we did, and it did a fairly good job at merging multiple images together.
It doesn't correct for lens distortion, however, which is pretty common on PC offerings. Depending on your source images, you may find it does the job, though, so try and hunt down a copy.
As for Voice over IP, nothing yet, although I did notice that Shtum, encrypted Voice over IP, has been released as a cross-platform open source project. It's written in Python, which we all have installed on our RISC-OS machines, right? So hey, that should be simple enough to get working, right? Maybe not.
So how's the virtual Vigae coming along?
Oh mate, I think it's broken. It seems to object to being run on a Microsoft machine.
No, I don't want to be in your stupid podcast. Go away.
So it looks like we're going to have to audition a replacement for him, just for this episode.
That sounds terrible.
Next!
Hi, I'm Paul Vigae.
Next!
Crop circles are a natural phenomenon.
No!
Keep moving.
Don't drive me crazy!
Oh mate, even a traditional comedy montage isn't helping here. Come on, virtual Vigae.
Hey? Right. I'm afraid our line's very busy at the moment. Please leave a message, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as possible.
Oh well, I suppose we better go to the news.
Castle has revamped its range of Ionix PCs, with prices starting from £799 of your English pounds. First up is the Aria Cube, the low-cost, compact, quiet, entry-level machine.
Which is obviously going for a song. Well, either that or they're named after a porn star.
There's also the X300 Mini Tower and dual-layer DVD options.
Spellings Computer Services Limited are celebrating 10 years in the RISC-OS marketplace. As a result, they're offering free domain names and reduced prices on web hosting, so check it out.
RISC-Script 5 has been released. The RISC-OS answer to Adobe Acrobat now supports clipping and is fully 32-bit compatible. You can buy it online at www.riscscript.nl.
I think the kids are saying triple dub now, mate.
Tell that to Bruce Forsyth.
Maybe we should do something on Microdigital. But if we do, we'd have to mention about you trying to buy one, and I don't want to embarrass you, mate.
What about the darkening the door?
I just find it funny. I mean, you actually bought one, and it never turned up. So you asked for a refund.
Yeah, the refund that I never got.
And they told you never to contact them again.
Robin Hounsome has released remote drivers and app for the more recent Pinnacle Rave PCI TV cards. This is for the later versions of the cards, which don't work with Simon Wilson's program, PCI TV.
And finally, RISCworld have released a DVD of their entire back catalogue. It contains all the articles and software from the first 5 years of the Discmag.
The software alone must be worth at least 10 times the price. Are they mad?
And so on to the features.
It better be worth it, this.
What do you mean it might be worth it? It's not like it costs you anything, is it? apart from a Mac, that you maintained that you didn't buy just to do this. Mr. Oh, I'm not going to buy a Mac just to be silly on the internet. So what did you buy this week?
I bought a Mac.
Yes, what are you doing with it now?
I'm being silly on the internet.
Yes. I didn't really want to mention this in the first podcast, in case it looked like we were just going to use this medium to bash rivals. But Drobe recently had a news article on the fact that someone had put a stick of Acorn User Rock on eBay. That's a type of sweet, not a lump of stone, for our foreign listeners. Must have been a slow news day. But you know the really sad part? I was at that show. I actually got a stick of that rock at the back of my desk drawer. Anyone know how much it went for on eBay? Anyone? I've got some Acorn mugs and a clown sweatshirt too.
Yeah, I've got an Acorn mug that came with a computer, and a Repton 3 mug from eBay, and even had a fluffy Acorn blob with goggly eyes until it got sucked up the vacuum cleaner.
Oh man, a fluffy Acorn with goggly eyes, I think I'm jealous.
And unfortunately I ate my Acorn mints. I'm also highly annoyed that I peeled off the cheesy 32-bit power transfers from my A3010. Has anyone still got those stuck on, do you think?
Probably not. First thing I usually do when I get a new computer is piggle that sort of thing off.
Memorabilia that I really want is a cuddly Repton and an Acorn credit card that they were sending out once, I think.
Yeah, although I doubt they're legal tender anymore. When they expired it, in 1999 or something.
Well, you could say that for Riskos generally.
Oh! Controversial!
Oh yeah, I've got a Risk Station keyring and an A6 Riskos 3.1 ROM keyring too. And at one show, John Cartmore's flogging little bears that were dressed up to look like Riskos celebrities.
Ooh, we could do some Paul Vigée ones. They sell like hotcakes.
Also, I've kept all my Acorn and Acorn User Show carrier bags, and probably all the leaflets in them too.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a clear out recently, and I managed to get rid of a lot of my older machines. And yet somehow I've still managed to end up with 4 copies of Elite, despite the fact I've got nothing to play them on. I mean, who is that much of an Elite nut?
Hello, this is Simon Challenge, doing my little bit of talking about Elite for latest cast. Where to begin? I first played Elite when I was 8 years old, when it first came out, back in 1984, and I got it for Christmas that year. I remember seeing adverts for it and getting quite excited and nagging my parents. It seemed to be the first ever game that actually inspired my imagination, and has done more than any other since. The first ever one where it's instead of pretend you're stopping some aliens dropping down the screen, you actually are flying around the universe. So that was the exciting thing about it. And back in my early years, I was very keen, although I do remember dragging in my mum to do all the trading records and so on for me, because I couldn't be bothered with it. The highlights from the early years, I remember getting an Elite birthday cake once with this all drawn on the top. I've played it a lot, and play it at school rather a lot, and so did everyone. And the biggest surprise was after a few years, when I finally upgraded the disc version, was getting the first of the missions, and that was a bit of excitement that I've never experienced in any game before or since, because I'd obviously been playing Elite for a while then, and I had no idea that missions existed, completely out of the blue, and really quite excited about that. But I think it was a long time before I actually found the Constrictor. Going on to played on the Ark, Ark Elite first came out, back for Christmas that year, all the excitement over again, and a lot more confusion as I got used to trying to play it with the mouse. And the website, which came about when I was at university trying to think of HTML to do, just to poke around the internet for the first time, and thought I'd give it a go, and put together my Elite site as an experiment more than anything else. And then that's wandered around since, and I was very pleased one day when I was about to pack up from university and said the site should be going. And Ian Bell, one of the co-authors, obviously, of David Braben, came along and offered to look after it for a while. Final exciting instalment of Elite was Elite A, Angus Duggan's modification to the BBC original BBC B version, where you could buy different ships, amongst other things. So quite a lot of time back on that, although I've moved on to having to use an emulator to run any BBC stuff by then, since my Beeb seems to have died for the last time I tried to use it. Oh, there we have it. A game that, well, I don't think there's been anything which has given quite the excitement and put you into a universe here, you are do what you like ever since, even if there isn't a great deal you can do in it. So, cheers, anyway. Bye.
Thanks, Simon. Simon.
Now on to letters. Someone recently wrote to us on an unrelated matter, saying,
"Sorry to ask you some more stupid questions, but I'm developing a new programme and want to keep it under wraps for fear of ridicule from the more intimidating developers on the platform."
Obviously it doesn't actually sound like that. That was voiced by an actor to preserve the anonymity of the individual involved.
Unfortunately not the actor.
Now, it's come up on the site before how high-profile developers especially should or shouldn't be allowed to say certain things because losing them would harm Riskos. But how many smaller developers, especially those just starting out, are being put off by people on Usenet or whatever?
I hope that our forums are still a little better than Usenet in this respect. Apart from the playpen, which is supposed to be a free-for-all. It comes with warnings and everything. But still, anyone else feel this? Let us know if you have an opinion. We'll keep it anonymous if you wish. Yeah, because there's a bit of a anti-BASIC brigade as well, isn't there?
There is a bit, but I mean, I program in BASIC all the time. I like it. It does the job. And if I wanted to do anything more complicated, I'd, well, probably ask somebody else to do it.
I did used to write everything in BASIC, and I've sort of moved over to C now. But, yeah, it's where I started, I guess.
Yeah, everyone has to start somewhere, and BASIC is a good starting point.
Actually, there was, I think on Compsy's sake on games, someone was asking ideas on how to start programming a board game that they wanted to write, and I think it was John Cartmell who suggested, "Oh, you could use AppBasic for this," and then one of the high-profile, intimidating developers on the platform shouted this down and said, "Oh no, that's not right." And then the developer in an afternoon produced the game, and I think it turned into a tutorial in Quirkus.
Nice. So there you go. There's no such thing as a stupid question, just stupid answers. So if you're thinking about developing your own software, just give it a go. Don't let anybody put you off.
Maybe what we need is a good document for people who know BASIC to move on into learning C.
Yeah, that could be a real help. If anybody's got any suggestions on that matter, drop us a line.
We want your input. If you have anything to say, you can email us at news@iconbar.com or hit the forums.
Or we can reveal our telephone number. Yes, we have a London office. Well, a Skype voicemail box anyway. The number is 020-7193-3202. Or for overseas listeners, that's +44 20 7193 3202.
You just know that's going to get abused, don't you?
Probably, but then we might still end up using it in the show anyway. Right, well, if Virtual Vige is on strike, I guess we'll have to go to his understudies for the phone number and email address.
020-7193-3202.
Or if you're overseas,
+44 20 7193 3202.
And by email?
news@iconbar.com.
You know, I quite like those, especially the phone girls. Maybe we won't need Virtual Vige after all.
Hey?
So call in. Questions, corrections, feedback, abuse, whatever.
Hello? Hello?
Ignore him, he'll go away.
We had a great response to Jason Trebek's contribution last time out, both the theme tune and interview, so we've managed to get hold of some of the music that should be appearing in Equinox.
So until next time, that's your luck.
Cue the music.
Hey, that's my bit.
Thank you.
Hello to the outtakes. Yeah, I was looking at trying to get a 12-inch one, just a cheap sort of...
Thank you, pardon?
Yeah, I go smaller. Oh, right. I thought you were talking about, like, a girlfriend or something, but that was just crazy talk.
Unfortunately, yes.
Lost the train of thought now. Stopped at the station, got off for a packet of fags, and it went on without me.
Unless... Oh, you're supposed to be saying something here.
Well, I could do the going for a song joke.
Yeah.
Because then that makes you look more professional than me, an idiot. Which is about right. Right, so I've got to try and do it when the wind isn't blowing either. And step across the lawn and not step in the fox poo.
Are you outside?
Yeah. Right, podcast 2.
Are you going to say electric boogaloo? Who keeps downloading this?
Stop now, we won't have to do another one.
Basically it's their fault. We've got another.
No, there is another.